today.
Are you tired of living with stained and worn-out carpeting? Does the den look like bears spent the winter with you? Spring is here, and so is Empire Today's half-off your project sale, starting now, but only for a limited time. Save 50% on a huge selection of carpet, hardwood, and laminate, standard padding and materials, and basic installation. Call the Empire Today half-off your project sale hotline now.
1-855-385-0681.
Empire Today's free in-home estimates are easy and smart. Choose from high-quality flooring in the rooms where you'll use them, with your lighting, so you can see the color best. We'll do the measuring. You do the selecting and saving. But first, you must do the calling. Everyone loves the half-off your project sale. Even bears. Call the Empire Today special hotline.
1-855-385-0681. 1-855-385-0681.
Empire
Today. Select styles. Details at empiretoday.com.
Welcome to the Coco Express, part of the Blog Talk Radio Network. Your host on the Coco Express is Aurelia Lyles. She's all about keeping it real. Great guests, interesting topics, so get on board. Listen, learn, live.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Coco Express Show Network. I'm Aurelia Lyles and it is the last Saturday of the month. And you know what that means. That means it's time for you. You, the best invention ever, with Valencia Lyles and her special guests.
Welcome to You, the Best Invention Ever, featuring host Valencia Lyles Saunders, a show dedicated to inspiring you to invent something incredible. Your life.
No problem.
Hey, welcome, welcome, welcome. And it's great to have, you know, to be back and to chill with my peeps here on You, the Best Invention Ever. I had a brain freeze. I'm sorry, y'all. Anyway, it's the end of April. It'll soon be May, but I don't know where you guys are listening from, but here in New York, yesterday and today, it was feeling more like a little bit of end of February, some of March, so it's been kind of confusing, but be that as it may, we are here and back ready to roll. Today, I'm really interested in my next guest because this is a subject that I have been following for a little while, and I want to know a lot more about it. I do know some about it, but I used to, at one point in my life, work in the recording industry and in recording studios, and I was witness to how that changed, and also as a singer and someone who had a couple of deals. So this is really, really interesting because I tell you, the industry has changed so much, and some of it is because of the internet. There are people doing business differently around the world, and we are picking up on each other's techniques and business styles, some for the good, some for the bad. But as we know, business can be great and business can be shady. But this is a whole new ball of wax we're talking about. And the subject is called the 360 deal. And it is really fascinating how this affects artists and the decisions they make. They make record companies and the labels and the decisions they are making, and how people are going to make money in this new landscape. So my guest today is Kendall Menton, and he's an attorney. So I'm sure he's, done a lot of these deals. And he's also an author of a book calling Understanding and Negotiating the 360 Ancillary Rights Deal. Wow, that sounds very lawyery. Anyway, we're going to get to the bottom of this and break it down so that, aspiring folks in the business can understand this. Seasoned folks can understand this deal, this new landscape, and just folks who are interested in the business can understand this. So, hello, Mr. Minton.
Hello, Ms. Miles. How are you this afternoon? And welcome also to all your listeners on Coco Express.
Thank you. Thank you. Oh, I said your name wrong and you said mine wrong. You're Ms. Kendall Minter, right?
That's
and
okay.
I'm Lyle. So.
Not a problem. My bad. So we will both correct
too.
That, but it's all good. So how are you?
I'm good today. I'm good. I'm really interested in your book and what you've learned. And
sure.
I happened upon this. Like I said, I used to be a bigger part of this industry a while back. But I somehow got interested in Korean pop music. And so when I get interested in something, I want to know all about it. So the way they do business, one of the heads of one of the entertainment companies in an interview I read said that they have modeled their industry, music industry business model to the Motown business model.
Correct.
Back in the day. All in-house. It's a farm system. They grow up there. They invest heavily in their artists. But on the back end, these artists owe so much money, and some of them can't possibly pay it back.
Sure, sure. Well, they're very much on the control system, the way the old Hollywood studios used to be, just like Motown
right.
was built. And they're almost, the artists are more like employees than independent
yes.
artists and contractors the way we have in the U.S. So it's a completely different model. And fortunately, we don't have that here.
Right, and they had some there, and they still do call slave contracts.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, which I thought was frightening and horrible.
Yes.
And it's just because it looks so glamorous on one end, but on the other end.
It is. But, well, that's the back end. That's the business side where the fans see the music side.
Mm-hmm. And those aspiring people see that as well. But when they get into it, some of them, there was one group I read that was so, and these groups are huge. They're like, 10, 12 people. So you have to split whatever you do make
a lot
amongst those people. And so you don't
right.
make any money. And there was one group that was so heavily in debt, they had to go to the Hmong sanctuary and beg for food. I was like, that sounds crazy.
That's just the sad part of it. Fortunately, we've evolved way past that here in the U.S. and in Europe and the other major territories like Latin America. So K-pop maybe would evolve to that, but I guess we'll leave them to figure it out for themselves.
Yeah, I hear they're starting, because they're looking at, because they are venturing out into other markets. They are coming to America. They are coming to Latin America, and they're seeing other people's ways and going, why are we living like that?
Right, exactly. Exactly.
Anyway, here in the U.S., the 360 deal, please explain to the listeners what that means and
sure.
where that.
Well, let me maybe before we get into the belly and the guts of what the 360 deal is, let's talk about some of the evolution about why it evolved.
Absolutely.
As most of your listeners know, 10, 15 years ago, the CD was a prevalent form of music consumption and delivery. And then with Napster, Grokster, LimeWire, all the file-to-file peer sharing, all the piracy on the internet, that kind of began to fade away, and it was replaced ultimately by digital downloads. And now even digital downloads are beginning to decrease in sales volume as online streaming increases. So record companies for the past 10, 12 years have really been scrambling to find a model to replace some of the lost revenue that they are sustaining from the lack of sales on the physical and digital side. And hence, you know, you either have to cut expenses or you have to find mm-hmm. revenue. There were fewer and fewer, and still are fewer and fewer, physical and digital sales of music, meaning less income coming into the label. So now they have evolved over the past 10 years an additional business model called the 360. Some call it the ancillary rights. Some call it the mm-hmm. passive income participation deal. But it's all the same.
Okay.
And at the gut and the heart of it, what it really is a model whereby record companies and music distribution companies now share in all the non-music revenue generated by their artists, specifically live touring and shows, publishing, mm-hmm. merchandising, endorsements, sponsorships, book deals, TV appearances, film appearances, and just like the personal manager now, they share in a percentage of that income anywhere from 5 to maybe as high as 25%. So it's an additional financial burden upon the artist. But if you're a new-level artist or a mid-level artist, it's one that you're going to be faced with. And if you don't have sufficient leverage, you will have to sign a deal with that clause included in it.
So basically what they're saying is because you are signed with me, we are giving you exposure. We're giving you the opportunity to tour. We are giving you the opportunity to be seen, and your visibility that you have
mm-hmm.
will create new revenue streams. And because of that, we have a right to that, to a percentage of your income.
That's correct. Yeah. So, I mean, what I want your listeners to understand is that it's a model that is here. It's not going away. And if you are a new artist or if you're a mid-level artist, what you have to do is to make sure that you have a team around you of competent attorneys and managers who are in a
mm-hmm.
position to negotiate the bite. You're going to get bit. The question is,
right.
Will you get bit by a guppy bite or by a shark bite? But the bite's going to be there nonetheless. So my book basically talks about the evolution of the deal and
mm-hmm.
includes some sample contracts and language so people can become familiar with it to demystify it. But then also towards the end of the book, what I do is I provide, I guess, some of the jewels and secrets from the treasure chest of things to ask for in the negotiation process that will benefit the artist so that the bite won't be as severe.
I've also heard of the 180.
That's interesting. I've never heard of the 180.
Really?
New one for me.
Okay.
That's a straight line. Yeah.
Doing some reading, and there are certain records, but they're smaller, more independent.
Mm-hmm.
And to entice people toward them, they're offering a 180 deal.
Okay. So I guess I'm not familiar with it, and it's the first time I've heard of it, but the 180 is a straight line instead of a circular encompassment. So maybe
mm-hmm.
the 180 is we take less, but we still pay.
Right, over time. So
exactly.
So this 360, what kind of a timeline are we looking on the deal? If it's a 3-year contract, is it for the 3 years, the life, or the life of the artist?
No, it's for the life of the contract, because keeping in mind that the 360 clause, which is inside of a record deal, is
mm-hmm.
just another bundle of rights and income participation
okay.
that the record company is getting in addition to the rights granted to them as the exclusive record company. So it's not like it's a separate deal. Let me back up. There have been some separate 360 deals. Jay-Z, Madonna.
Of course. But they don't count.
Yeah, so they were
early
on, though.
Saints
they did
the
those
angels.
Deals, yeah, 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago, where, you
yeah.
know, they were getting $40, $60, and $80 million advances with Live
mm-hmm.
Nation and other music companies for the rights for 360 participation. So those deals do exist. But the traditional 360 clause in a record deal runs
mm-hmm.
the length of the record deal, which could be 2, 3, 4, 5 albums. And
right.
the running of that time depends on how prolific an artist is in recording and delivering products. So it could be 1 year, 18 months run per album cycle, but it's
mm-hmm.
more towards an album cycle as opposed to a specific number of years. And that's the way record contracts have been probably for the past 10 years.
Okay, gotcha. So that takes some of the, to me, the fear of this clause? Because they're talking about an album cycle.
An album cycle, but it lasts for as long as and for as many album cycles as a record company chooses to elect options to exercise.
Ah, but...
Because, again, keeping in mind, it's the record company, not the artist, that has the options in the agreement that they, in their sole discretion, have the right to exercise or not exercise. If the records aren't selling, they're going to drop the artist. If the records continue to sell, then as long as they're selling, they'll continue to exercise option after option as long as it's financially viable to them.
Now, on the artist's side, the artist also has the option when, you know, you're up for renewal to say thank you, but no thank you.
No, you don't.
You don't?
No, it's never a mutual option. Because keeping in mind that it's the record company that's laying out tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, and sometimes millions of dollars to record, market, promote, and establish an artist.
Right.
So they guarantee
if you're making money,
their risk.
Okay, so if you're making money, they say, I'm making money too until...
Yeah, so if the label's making money, hopefully the artist is making money, but that's not always the case. But you'll never see an agreement where the artist has the right to say thank you, no thank you, goodbye. My old partner used to have a saying, because he used to work for Atlantic Records, Hank Caldwell, and he used to say, that's like us fattening up the frogs for the snakes.
Okay. To have someone
we're not
going to
pay all the money, fatten up the frog, and have another snake come along and eat it. We're going to eat ourselves.
Right. Right. Gotcha. So, okay, what are some of the things that new artists should be aware of in the negotiation process?
Well, there's going to be a percentage. Mm-hmm. The percentages vary, and the percentages cover all aspects of the ancillary area streams that I was just discussing earlier. Touring, merchandising, endorsements, book deals, TV deals, film appearances. So it's incumbent on the artist and their representatives to be able to dissect each area. Mm-hmm. And then let's say, for example, you have an artist who already has a television profile from a reality show, or they already have a book out, then you want to exclude that. There's no reason to give that area of participation to the label because they're not creating that new opportunity for you. You already have it and are exploiting it.
Right.
But they will share in live engagements, and they will share in everything else that they can. So you have to exercise whatever leverage you may have to exclude areas. And then you also use whatever expertise you and your team have to reduce the percentage, and then also to possibly stagger it so that their percentages and participation rights kick in upon the occurrence of certain specific events, like charting a record, you know, releasing an album or a single, something to show that the record company has done affirmatively something, spent some money, taken some risk to be able to justify their participation in your other pockets.
Gotcha. So as a new artist coming in, what should, and this is because new artists don't have much of anything, you know, to, well, not all, but some. What should their team look like?
Well, each new artist, each established artist, should have a team around them. That would include a qualified, experienced entertainment attorney, a qualified, experienced personal manager, not your homeboy, Joe Blow, a qualified, experienced.
They can't do it.
Yeah, CCNA too. You know, a CPA slash business manager who's going to take care of the financial obligations and make sure the taxes are paid, and a talent booking agent to find those gigs so they can hit the road and make some money. That's the essential elements of the team, and then as they begin to release product, they're going to need a press and PR agent to make sure that they have the media exposure that they want. That will also include a social media marketing person to supplement what the record company is doing. So you're talking about a half a dozen people around the artist who make a career a brand.
Okay. And that is, see, that's what's different than what the industry was. We have other pockets of or levels of PR and exposure. And so it's all about branding now.
branding. Everything is about branding now.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it used to be 5 years ago, you could drop an album. If it was successful, it might sell a million copies in the first month. Now, last year, we might have had six artists with platinum records all year. So because music sales are down, the successful artists have to create brands. That's why you see Beyonce and Jay-Z and Drake and Chris Brown and a whole bunch of other folks, Rihanna, not just doing music. They're doing perfume lines and clothing lines and beverage lines and vodka lines. That's branding. And that all comes from the success of being a celebrity, just like the Kardashians. You know, so you take your brand, you milk it in as many different ways as you can while you're in the limelight, and then that's your legacy.
So, you know, back when we had Motown, it was an honor to sing. It was an honor to be a musician. It was an honor to, you know, be out there doing your craft. Now you have to be a pitch man. You have to be an actor. You have to be a writer. You have to be so many things.
Everything.
You have to be everything for everybody so you can make money. How are artists really getting this done?
Again, it's a team, because an artist is just one person. They can't do it all by themselves. So they literally have a team, successful artists. They all have a team around them that execute on all the various areas of endeavor that they want to pursue. And you obviously have to have a team that knows what they're doing, experienced at what they're doing. I mean, look at J-Lo. She's had Benny Medina as her personal manager probably since she was knee-high to a frog. But the two of them have a team that's a machine that has her everywhere now. And she's just one example. Madonna, I mean, you know, the list is long, but at the end of the day, if you peel away the covers, you're going to see the artist up on stage, their face on covers, their face on packages for brands. But there are a whole lot of folks behind the scenes pulling the strings that you don't see or hear about.
That usually is how it is. It's like the Wizard of Oz.
Exactly.
It's somebody behind.
It's no different. So it's like the iceberg. You know, you'll see a portion of the iceberg above the surface, but it's what's below the surface that's really what you got to watch out for.
That'll hurt you.
or kind of take you out.
Right. So now we know that level is just what it is, you know, like it's a business, it's a company, it's a machine.
It is.
But what I'd like to come back to is for those newbies, mid-level guys who are really having to hoof it out there, what's their life looking like right now?
Well, they're on a grind. I mean, what new artists have to focus in on is what's the point of easiest, cheapest entry? It's the internet, it's social media. And that's why a lot of artists, from Justin Bieber to many, many more, are being discovered and signed today because of their presence on social media. That way you don't have to spend tens of thousands to get radio airplay. You don't have to spend tens of thousands to get print coverage in the media. You can kind of grind, put your music up. I had a client last year named McConan in the fall who had been on social media for 3 years putting up his music. Last fall, one of his tracks called Going Up on a Club on Tuesdays was discovered by Drake on YouTube. Drake jumped on the track. Within 6 days, we were negotiating with five different major labels, all because of his social media activities. And now he's got a tour that sold out in 45 minutes. He signed to Drake's label that's affiliated with Warner Brothers. And here's a guy who, you know, was just on the grind, independent artist, trying to be discovered, trying to have his music out 6 months ago. And now he doesn't have a moment to sleep.
Now, that sounds like people would call that an overnight story, but it is not an overnight story.
It's not.
It's the grind.
It's overnight plus 3 or 4 or 5 years that you didn't see.
For you, it was overnight because you woke up and said, who was that?
Exactly. But for him,
he'd been doing it,
sleeping on couches, eating peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, borrowing support from friends for several years before he had that break. And now he's got a team around him. He's got, you know, folks
How
that do what they do.
How did you find him?
He was referred to me actually by a longtime client of mine, Taharka Aleem from the Aleem Brothers, who used to be with Jimi Hendrix. So he introduced me to his nephew and to McConan, and kind of we took it from there, and we've been rolling.
Wow. Okay. So,
it's a, you know, our business functions on relationships. It functions on networking, just like most industries. But relationships are key. Without them, you can't progress.
No. And it really is who you know and how you know them.
Exactly. And then what you know to be able to deliver.
Absolutely. And that is the bottom line, the delivery.
Yeah, it is. And it's about information. And that's why, you know, I like to share information. That's why I wrote the book. I teach as a professor of copyright music publishing at Georgia State. I've taught at Benjamin Cardozo Law School here in New York. So the idea is knowledge is power. And if you can help share that knowledge and empower other folks, you know, it all goes around in a circle in the feed. That's why we launched our new website a couple of weeks ago called AskMusicLawyer.com, which I invite all the Coco Express listeners to please check out, because it's a wealth of information, power, and knowledge on that website. That includes resource directory information. It includes contracts that they can pick up and review for their own use. It is a chat room. We're going to have monthly webinars featuring celebrities talking about various business aspects and creative aspects of the industry. So it's a real fun site, easy to navigate. And again, that was put together by networking. I got a guy in London, Simon Vandy, who is the web developer, who was introduced to me by another client. I've got Mickey Funderburg in Atlanta doing the social media, another associate of mine, Larray, doing all of the content uploading. Got Angela Ellaby doing a lot of the lifting on the PR side. So I couldn't do it by myself. It's a team, and I'm just one person, so I do what I can do, and the team does the rest. And that's what an artist has to do. They have to have a good team, because they can never do it all by themselves. It'll never happen.
No. It's a vision, and they're the people who help you execute it and clean it up and make it presentable and get you out there.
That's right. And then with some success, I mean, look at what you do with Coco. You know, you can do that by yourself.
Oh,
so it's no different.
No.
It's no different.
No, it's not.
It's all the same.
But I think, you know, young artists or aspiring artists sometimes they're unaware. And this is this website, because we are a digital information society now. Your website is awesome, because I remember being in the business back in the 90s and just seeing, and it's been no different from then and beyond, where people were just so unaware of how much they were signing their lives away. You know?
Ignorance.
And yeah.
You know what they say, ignorance is bliss until you wake up.
It is, until you get the bill.
Yeah, and you will. It's just a matter of time. When you wake up, it'll be like, damn, what happened?
Yeah. And I won't even name the artist, you know, because I worked for a good chunk of time at the recording studio. And that's the easiest way to lose your money.
Yeah.
Or at that time it was, because you don't realize what those costs are. And when you show up in the middle of the night, when you blocked out a day, you're not paying for those middle of the nights. You showed up when the guy, your engineer, is sitting there all day. You're paying
$50 an hour,
if not more.
Yeah, for the I was just the engineer, not the studio.
Right.
Yeah. So I mean, it's awakening process, and artists, producers, songwriters, creative talent, entrepreneurs, investors, business managers, if they don't go out and seek the information, they only have themselves to blame, because the information is readily available at the click of a mouse.
Absolutely, which is great. It makes everybody more educated. More savvy, and it makes, you know, you're less likely to be taken advantage of, and you know you are going to be to a certain degree, but to a lesser degree, more than likely, and you can make intelligent decisions for yourself.
That's right. And if you don't, get out the game. Go keep your 9-to-5 and just make room for somebody else who's serious about it.
Yeah, go be something that falls in line with what you know. What you can handle, because
that's right.
I saw something, and this is the other thing about the internet. Like on my Facebook, somebody posted something online about DMX, who just is falling by the wayside. What the heck? It's like
yeah. But you know, careers have peaks and they have lulls and valleys. So you know, it's rare that it'll constantly be on a steady high plateau or a rise. So you've got to be able to weather and sustain the longevity if you're going to be around for 10 to 20 years.
But I think what we're seeing now is that musicians, artists are so diversified. If their music career is not, you know, at its highest point, they have so many other businesses that are generating income and influence that, you know, some their brand is out there, their name is out there. So it's not like I'm forgotten. I'm not.
I mean, classic example. When was the last time you heard a record that Diddy produced or recorded on? But you see his name every week.
Yeah. Absolutely.
That's branding.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's just the nature of the beast right now, so you have to ride it.
Mm-hmm.
And do the best you can. Now, going back to the artist that you found that was sleeping on the couch and, you know, really grinding it out. I like that phrase because that's what it really is.
It's a grind,
Mm-hmm. How can they make, I know the, you know, like you said, the internet is one of the best vehicles at the moment to get out there, but people want to see you perform. How can you make the best of that?
Sure.
Aspect of your career?
The first most accessible performance vehicle will be YouTube and the various internet sites, because it doesn't cost anything. And you just stand in front of your own selfie and be up on YouTube in 5 minutes. So there's no barriers to that point of entry, which is where everybody needs to start. Keeping in mind that for live engagements, unless you're doing open mics in your hometown, it's difficult to get on a show opening or in any capacity of any meaningful size, because one, the promoters aren't going to pay you because you don't have a fan base, and there's nobody that's going to buy a ticket and pay their money to see you at that level because they don't know you. You don't have a hit record. So that's something that's not realistic. So they need to take advantage of the tools that they have that are readily accessible, that they can afford. Again, it comes back to the internet. It comes back to using CD Baby or possibly TuneCore or one of the other digital distributors to get their music uploaded so it can be sold. Then it goes back to Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Reverb Nation, SoundCloud, all the other digital platforms to be able to get their music out, create a fan base, create a buzz. And I guarantee you that if that buzz is measurable in what we call metrics, that's what the labels are all looking for. And once you have them at reasonable numbers that show that you have a fan base and good music and an image, they will be calling. That's what folks need to focus on.
So what is that golden metric number?
There is no special number.
Okay.
I mean, I don't want to say, you know, hit a million and you got a deal, because it really doesn't work that way. There's no magic threshold. When you walk through this door, you got a parachute. So it's really, you know, in terms of YouTube views, they have to be in the millions. In terms of Twitter and Facebook, tens of thousands. So the numbers have to be decent, so that it's really a measurement of a true fan base, along with good music and a great image that's marketable. And because for every company, it's a different measurement. But the key is to push it as high and as far as you can, because ultimately someone will take notice, and that's your opportunity to build your career.
Great. I think one of the interesting things is great music is great music, but image is everything as well. So can
That's
you talk
correct.
A little bit about that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, imaging is very, very important. And sometimes in the media, people say, you know, even bad press is good press if you can turn it around. But, you know, and I can't say you want to have a clean image versus a dirty image, because, you know, gutter mouth rappers are still getting signed.
Dirty cells.
So, you know, there's a market for everything. The real thing is you have to have an image, and the real key for the image is marketability with a provable fan base and accessibility. So if you can combine all those areas into whatever image that you're developing, there are folks out there that are going to buy it and pay for it, and that's what the companies want to know, and that's why people get signed.
Yeah. One thing that I find interesting is that there's so many followers of trends.
Mm-hmm.
People tend to say, ooh, I'm going to try that, ooh. But the reason
well,
you're trying that is
moment.
Because,
yeah.
But that person that you're trying to follow is authentic.
Right. Yeah, and true to what they're doing and has a consistency as
yeah.
opposed to it's just a quick bubblegum pop song that everybody's, you know, there's not the Macarena of the day or, you know, whatever
yeah.
it might be. It's got to
right.
have some realistic longevity to it.
And so that longevity seems to be authenticity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
I
like
mean, look
you
at,
said.
Look at D'Angelo. You know, D'Angelo's out now with his new album. He's a friend. And, you know, I applaud him because he took a break. He had some creative
mm-hmm.
challenges with his label.
Mm-hmm.
But now he came out strong, back stronger than ever. Ashanti, who was a client
mm-hmm.
of mine. I mean, she
mm-hmm.
after she left Murder, Inc., she took a break for a minute. But last year when she dropped her new album on E1, it was top of the charts.
Yeah.
So that's longevity. She's been around since she was 14 years old.
Right.
And had tons of hits, great catalog, but those are careers that you establish and you sustain them because you have a great image, you got good quality material, and you're good
mm-hmm.
live when people do pay their money to see you.
Another thing I liked, the break. Now, some people think that you cannot take a break in this industry, but there are so many other people who have done that and to their benefit.
Tell Sade and Stevie Wonder they can't take a break.
Thank you.
mm-hmm. So it all depends on who you're talking to.
Right. Right. And that, you know, and they, you know, have kind of shown us there's nothing wrong with a break, a breath. Sometimes
no,
I wish artists
no.
would take a breath in between because I just feel sometimes that there's an oversaturation.
Saturation.
Point.
And sometimes there is, yeah. So, you know, an artist with a true fan base. That's a true fan base that's really loyal
mm-hmm.
and dedicated. They can be off the scenes and not have any real activity for 2, 3, 4 years and then pop back up and it'll be like they never left.
Right.
That's a career.
But I think there's also something about the American entertainment industry where we're always, you know, next. Like the Latin markets, they are very loyal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, other ethnic groups are very loyal to their artists. And they have,
well, that's
and
why we're, you know, United States is the fast food capital of the world.
Mm-hmm.
We're immediate consumption. We don't sit and spend 2 hours for a meal. So,
no, we don't.
You
and
know,
we
it's
yell
culture.
At the person if you don't get the food here quick enough for their
that's
life.
Right.
Like,
yeah, so it's
up?
All cultural. Yeah.
Yeah. Which, you know, which I find fascinating that, you know,
mm-hmm.
Julio Iglesias, I mean, come on.
Right, exactly. Yep.
You know, he can
so
be
those
100.
Are careers.
Yeah. But so there
Tony Bennett and Lady Gaga.
Yeah.
So, again,
Clash
of
Titans.
Fan base. Yeah.
Tony is, you know, and jazz is for the United States is a different animal anyway.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah. But it all goes back to the same thing. You know, a solid career, great fans.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime,
yeah.
you know, you'll be rewarded and welcome back.
Because there is that consistency. It's just like your favorite restaurant. Every time you go there, you want the thing that you like to taste the same.
Exactly. Yeah.
Even if you haven't been there for a year, you want that same experience. You want that same
yeah.
feeling. So it's
that's
the same
right.
with our artists. We go because they deliver a product
mm-hmm.
that is consistent for us.
Right. That's
you
why
know?
I still go to Earth, Wind & Fire and Frankie Beverly.
See? Hello? Right?
Yep.
Consistency.
Right.
Yeah. And just like and the Beach Boys, you know, people will
mm-hmm.
show up to a Beach Boy concert and you're like, what?
Yep.
But
exactly. Yeah.
They get that same
so that's,
sound,
that's,
that same feeling. It takes them back.
Right. Well, that's the beauty of the business that we work in. So it has generational impact.
Right. And it hits you on such an emotional level.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yes.
you go to
yeah.
a concert, you can remember where you were, who you were there with, what you were doing. And so it really is amazing how emotionally sensitive music can be.
It is. It is. But what would you do without it? We wouldn't. Life would not be the same. So
it
jump
would.
On the bus and enjoy the ride.
There, if you can, yes. And that's what you should do. You really should do. But while you're taking the ride, get some education. Get educated on the business so that, and that's how you really do enjoy the ride, you know?
Yeah.
Because if you're feeling all stressed out and, you know, nothing's working out and things are going bust, you can't enjoy the ride.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's why that was one of the motivating reasons, and that's why I was happy to share the information that's in the book and also on the website, which we will continue to evolve with more information and more fun. So I just encourage folks to check them out, but also to research, to be students about this business so that they can enjoy the ride, as you say.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to commend you for doing this because,
as you know,
we've had a history of so many, you know, you hear so many terrible stories of people, you know, who had it all and lost it all. And, and you go, wow, him, her, wow.
Yeah, I know.
And you've really taken advantage of the tools for information delivery.
Well, thank you. So, I mean, you're doing your thing, too. I mean,
well, thank
you stand on the shoulders of a lot of great educators and you know, folks that are journalists behind the scenes, either on the microphone or on the pen, and, you know, the Hal Jacksons and the Gary Birds and the Frankie Crockers and just a ton of folks. And, you know, they're all friends of mine, and it's all a tradition that you kind of continue with Coco Express. So I applaud you as well and say, keep on keeping on.
Thank you so much. And, you know, like, it is fun. You know, I feel like I get to talk to so many interesting people and explore so many subjects that I might not have come across in my daily life.
Right.
And to be able to share that and to share how people got it done and maybe inspire people to do something themselves. You
well,
know, it doesn't
have to be.
You're
an influencer, so keep on
influencing.
Hey. Yeah, pacemaker.
I'm going to start telling people that's who I am. You know who you're talking to. I'm
well,
an influencer.
You are. So, exactly. Put that on your signature tag.
Yes, I'm an influencer. Thank you very much.
Yes.
Well, Kendall, thank you so much.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I enjoy the time, and I'm happy to share, and I appreciate your Coco family listening in.
Yeah, and if you have any other things you want to talk about, please let us be the one.
Oh, trust me, Angelo and Tracy are going to blow your phone up.
Because, you know, you've got lots of information, and I really enjoy the way you deliver it so concisely. I think you're welcome. I've learned a lot, you know?
Great,
and,
great. Well, as I like to say, to be continued.
Yes, absolutely.
Great.
Good day.
All right, fantastic. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Oh, you too. Give our best to Angelo.
I definitely will.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Well, folks, that was Kendall Menten, a law attorney. Music attorney, a well-established one, as you heard. And his book is Understanding and Negotiating the 360 Ancillary Rights Deal. And he has a website, askmusiclawyer.com. So if you are interested in your career and interested in what you need to do to, you know, get up and running and understand your business so you are prepared for what's coming at you so you can enjoy the ride, like he said, I suggest you check out his book and the website. And, you know, like you said, there are going to be interviews and webinars that are featuring established artists, new artists. So I am going to check it out myself. And my producer already took a sneak peek, and she said, it's awesome. So that being said, he's going to come back and, you know, update us on what's new in the industry, which will be fun, which will be interesting to me because it's an area that I have a lot of interest in. And, you know, I like knowing where the business is going and where it's at since I was once a participant. Anyway, like you said, I am an influencer. That's what Kendall called me, an influencer. So I'm going to take that and run with it. Well, anyway, you know, hit us up and tell us what you think. You know, check out the site and, you know, give some feedback. Anyway, it's been a great Saturday, and I love hanging out with you guys. And I just want to say, I'll be seeing you. Okay.
That's our show for today. So until next time, keep it real, listen, learn, and live.